into the Pokes Report podcast. Is that right? Is that the name of this thing?
Yeah, we're back, baby.
Yeah, it took me a while to figure out how to get everything loaded. It feels like it's been 3 months because it has. It's been so long. I'm so excited to be back.
Well, thankfully, basketball has given us something to talk about.
Yeah, you know. This is going to be, and ironically enough, we're putting this out before they officially introduce new head coach Steve Lutz. But there's a lot to talk about leading up to this. And here in a few hours, you'll be able to see new head coach Steve Lutz, formerly of Western Kentucky, be introduced as the Oklahoma State head coach, and you'll get to hear all about his philosophies and all that stuff. But we're going to give our thoughts on the hire. And Brian, first of all, how are you? How are things going?
Man, I'm great. I'm actually well rested. I'm not the one with a newborn. So the fact that you're up right now, I'm proud of you. I think that you haven't had anything going on in the last couple weeks.
No.
Especially with Mike Boynton leaving, which, by the way, he's an assistant at Michigan, just to go ahead and close that chapter, right? Isn't that where he's at?
He will be incredible.
No, oh, he's going to be
at
amazing.
Michigan. There, yes. The unlimited resources that Michigan basketball is going to be able to afford him to go out and recruit. Yeah, I love it. I'm so happy for Mike. I think that's a great landing spot for him.
No, I agree. I'm happy with this hire.
I am too.
I think we're going to get into this. Some fans, I know you want to get into the fan reaction. You hear from a lot more of them than I do, certainly. And so I'm excited to hear what all you have heard from people. But I'm excited about this hire because of the fast pace that he brings. That it's, yeah, every coach takes a job and says, and you're going to hear this is, oh, we're going to play hard-nosed defense. We're going to play, make them uncomfortable. Yeah. Can you put the ball in the bucket? And that was a problem that Oklahoma State had this last year. And Steve Lutz has the background to show that is not a problem for his teams. So we'll get into that. But that's the number one reason that I'm excited. To me, it feels like you're kind of hiring that, if you took it to football terms, which more people kind of know, you're hiring a guy from a lower level that has figured out offense and led his conference in offense, and we're bringing that to the Big 12.
Yeah, there's no question. And honestly, you can probably go back a couple of years. You know, when it comes to scoring and offensive efficiency and output and shot percentage and free throw percentage, you know, and turnovers and stuff like that. And I'm not going to sit here on April 4th and say that they're going to shoot the ball well and that they're not going to turn the ball over and that just like this past year with Western Kentucky, they're going to have the number one pace of play. I can't, and I won't. But I think if you look at some of the numbers that he put out, right, they were number one in offensive pace of play this past year, and I want to say...
And that wasn't in Conference USA. That was in the nation.
Yeah, exactly. That wasn't, you know, something simple. They mm-hmm. led the country in offensive possessions. But what's more impressive about that is not the fact that they led the country in pace of play. They scored at a very high clip. They shot the ball very, very well. And we're going to dive into stats and what he's done at all of his various stops. But let's just kind of talk about the lead up to it, right? And I think what made this, the hire more stressful than I think it needed to be, and it was of no one's doing, right? I mean, it's not like, I think the thing that, and I'm not gonna call out fans. I'm not gonna sit here and I'm not gonna say this person or this person or this person. But I do find it funny. Yes, the announcement was made on day 18 of the search. All right. But there's a lot of factors that went into the fact that it was day 18. But it blows my mind that people just kind of publicly put out on social media that Chad Weiberg wasn't doing his job. That Chad was just that he was just hanging out in Stillwater. That he wasn't, you know, oh, well, he must not care about basketball. How is he letting all these coaches get away?
How many times do you think Dr. Shrum called Weiberg's office in that time frame and went, do we have a basketball coach yet?
I'm
going to guess there was a little bit of pressure from all over the place. You think the big time donors were not ringing him, sending him emails all the time?
That I think to me was the most baffling about this whole search. But I will say this, when you look at some of the candidates that were out there, and I think, and I said, I did a radio hit with Eric G of the Sports Animal in Tulsa, not yesterday, but I think it was Monday maybe, or Tuesday, Monday or Tuesday. I can't remember what day. It was one of those 2 days. And he asked me, you know, all this stuff, you know, why, you know, what took so long and this, that, and the other. Well, okay, so when you go to Pokes Report and any other outlet that covers Oklahoma State athletics, you can't just put out 2 to 3 head coaches across, or assistant coaches across the country as soon as your head coach is fired and say, here's a couple of guys to look at, and then leave it alone. You have to, what we did is you look at various mid-major coaches. You look at talented assistant coaches, you look at younger coaches, up-and-coming coaches, and you say, these 20 to 30 coaches, over the course of 2 weeks or so, you know, these guys have a really good resume. These guys know what it takes to win. These guys recruit well. Look at the success this guy has had at a couple of different stops. I can say with almost certainty that Chad Weiberg's list of head coaches or assistant coaches that he was looking at for a replacement was not 20 to 30 coaches long. I think that, I don't know the number, but I can almost, I can say with almost certainty that he wasn't, you know, he wasn't just scanning the country saying, oh, look at these 30 to 40 coaches. Let's start calling every single one of them. I think Chad's list was probably 4 to 6 coaches long. You know, I think you have and I think Lutz was on that list from the very beginning. You know, I think that Danny Sprinkle was a legitimate contender for the job, but when you look, and I don't know the contract details yet for Steve Lutz, but when you look at the contract that Danny Sprinkle got with Washington, Oklahoma State's probably not going to be able to compete with almost $4 million a year. That's that's tough, right?
Especially not in this environment, sure.
Well, not right now, right? I mean, Given Danny Sprinkle or any coach a contract that Washington gave Sprinkle is kind of what got Oklahoma State in the mess that they've been in since Travis Ford. And what's crazy about that is if you go back through and they haven't, you know, they settled with Ford, you know, they didn't end up paying him exactly what he was owed. But if you go back, and I was texting a buddy this the other day going through some numbers. So Ford's buyout was supposed to be just a little bit more than $7 million. And they negotiated down, I think it was like 3.9 maybe, but it was right basically $4 million. And now that was Ford's buyout to get rid of him out of that ridiculous contract. And Boynton's is 8.8. So you've had to pay out roughly $13 million or will have paid out $13 million to get rid of two failed coaching experiments.
Incredible.
Yeah. So they were never going to give a coach, you know, $3 to $4 million. And not right now, right? If Steve Lutz, and I'd be surprised if they did. I'm not saying they won't. I'd be surprised if they did, because that's the mess that we've been in for the last 15 years. And then you had the whole contract fiasco with Brad Underwood. Now, if Lutz comes in here and has a lot of success, you obviously renegotiate and stuff like that. But I think long story short, this is one thing that I talked to Eric about the other day is, you know, he was like, well, why did this process take so long? Well, I think Chad knew that there were anywhere between four to six coaches that he was looking at and talking to. Pokes Report put out last Wednesday, and I believe, I don't know what day that was, but last Wednesday, that and it was in the evening that Oklahoma State had interviewed Steve Lutz, which happened on Tuesday. So we reported Wednesday, the first to report, that he had been interviewed and that he was the leading candidate for this job. All right? So let's break that down. They announced on Monday, April 1st, ironically enough, that he was the head coach. We reported the 27th. So you have the 28th, 29th, 30th, 31st, and the 1st. That's 5 days. We reported on day 13 that he was the leading guy. They interviewed him on the 26th. So 6 days. So they interviewed him on day 12 of the coaching search. On Thursday, there was a massive, there was a big funeral for a big-time Oklahoma State family member in Ike Glass. That's Rob Glass's father. Long time in Oklahoma State, right? So there's a Oklahoma State and the athletic department, they would have never put out. I mean, whether they had agreed with Lutz yet or not, an announcement wasn't going to happen on that day. And then you had Good Friday on Friday. Well, Oklahoma State, unless it leaked, no major university is going to announce something as large as a men's basketball coaching hire, head coaching hire. They're not going to announce on a Friday because you want to bury a news story. You put it on a Friday because it dies out over the weekend.
Right.
And they're never going to put anything out on the weekend. But guess what, Brian? Guess what was the 31st?
31st was on the weekend.
It was Easter, too. you had a major holiday. So you had a funeral on Thursday. They're not going to release it on Friday because it'll die. They're not going to release it on a weekend. And they're especially not going to release it on Easter Sunday. So if you go back to the original interview date of the 26th, day 13 of the search, compared to the announcement on day 18 of the search, you can eliminate Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So you can eliminate 5 days from the coaching search. So it didn't take 18 days. And so over the weekend, you had this pandemonium. Oh my gosh, they haven't announced a head coach. What's OSU doing? What's Chad Weiberg doing? They knew who they had. We reported that he was the main guy. I think Robert said on his radio show that we were reporting that Oklahoma State was going to hire him.
Yeah, he did.
You had national people come out and say that he was the leading candidate. John Holcomb said on Channel 6, I think Wednesday evening, that an announcement could come as early as Thursday. So you had people, credible sources, come out and say, credible sites and media members come out and say that Oklahoma State was going to hire Steve Lutz. I get it. I mean, if we announce that Wednesday and Thursday and all of a sudden it's Sunday night and it's like, oh man, this has taken a while. But it didn't take 18 days. Like, there was no, I could understand some of the panic, but Oklahoma State knew by day 14 or 15 who they were going to hire.
Yeah, and if fans are thinking that OSU is in a horrible spot men's basketball-wise and compared to our history, probably are. Steve Lutz has been in a worse spot before. Texas A&M Christie was 5-19 when he took him over.
Yep.
Somebody convinced him, hey, come down here to Corpus Christi. The beach is nice. You're going to play coach a little basketball on the side. And he goes, oh, that's nice. What'd y'all do last year? About that. We were 5-19. And nobody's coming back, by the way. You have absolutely, you have to overhaul the entire roster. All 13, 12 or 13 scholarships. And he did. And takes them to 23-12. Not predicting that for in the Big 12. He goes against a little bit different caliber schools and coaching in the Big 12. But he's walked into worse spots than what Oklahoma State is right now and has had success there. And then did it again at Western Kentucky. After two seasons, he goes 22-12 the first year. And then what was he back there this year?
No, just the one season. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So the guy knows how to come in. The cool thing to me is that he knows how to put together a roster based on his style of play. You can't walk into somewhere and just go, well, I know what I like to do, but here's what we have to do. He walks in and says, no, this is what I want to do. I want to, and he said it on OSU Max on the plane ride. He kind of broke down his coaching style that he said, first and foremost, the easiest shot in basketball are layups and dunks. That's the highest percentage. I want the most of those that I can get. He wants the ball going towards the basket within the first 12 seconds of the shot clock, which is, again, something we're not used to, that we're not going to run the three-man weave out beyond the three-point line and then settle for shot clock's going down, fire this thing up. That he wants to get the ball to the basket. I know that he's already put in to the portal, but if I'm a Brandon Garrison, I'm at least taking the phone call and going, I'm sorry, you want to run the offense through the big guy?
Yeah.
Talk to me. And, you were mentioning some numbers earlier, and these are going to be compared to OSU last year because that's what we've seen. I'm not saying this is what they're going to be next year. This is compared to what we've seen. That OSU shot 24 threes per game last year. Western Kentucky only shot 20. Western Kentucky was 34th in the nation in fast break points per game. 34th in the nation. OSU was 149th, right in the middle. So he wants to push the ball. He wants to get the ball moving down the court. He wants layups. His second option beyond that is the 3-point. So we are going to be that new age, new school mindset of it's either layups or threes. But he puts a heavy emphasis on shots in the paint. Yeah. And I didn't get those numbers. I meant to try to look up those numbers to see where he was at in points in the paint. Maybe I can get that relatively quickly. But, that's what he has put out there as his philosophy, offensive philosophy. He did mention that he wants to play a lot of man defense, that he wants to make people as uncomfortable as possible. And, again, I started off this saying, every coach in the nation is going to take a new job and they're going to say, boy, we're going to score a lot of points and we're going to keep them to not scoring a lot of points because that's how they keep their job. Mm-hmm. So, but those are just a few different numbers that back that up. And you can throw out a myriad of analytics, man, they're first in the nation in this. They led the conference. If anybody listening can tell me what in the world, you can tweet me Brian B Murphy 47 and tell me what in the world actually effective field goal percentage is and how that what that means. You can look through all the analytics and you mentioned this way back, but the bloodline that his coaching bloodline comes from a winning coaching bloodline all the way back to Henry Iba. Through Matt Painter. He's got former bosses, former head coaches that are coming out saying, Greg McDermott, the things that he came out on his own, unprompted, and said about Steve Lutz getting a head coaching job and how happy he is for a guy like that to get that kind of job, to get a I'm going to call it a major program job. That speaks highly to the man, not just the coach, but to the man that he was under Greg McDermott, the man that he was under a Matt Painter. To those guys are genuinely on a personal level excited for a coach to get a job. I mean, we are, Mike Boynton is leaving Oklahoma State as one of the greatest men coaches that's ever been on campus there.
Sure.
I mean, just the way he put into the program, the way he put into the university, it feels like from what these guys are saying, we're getting that back. Plus a guy that has a winning resume when he takes the job in Stillwater.
Yeah, and I think when you look at you can talk about pace of play all you want. You know, and you mentioned analytics and all this stuff. I think what's important for me when I talk pace of play is that they led the nation in offensive possessions, but they averaged 80 points a game and they shot 47% mm-hmm. from the field. And if you go back to the fact that he took three straight teams to three straight NCAA tournaments as a head coach. And you mentioned how bad Corpus Christi was. They were 5-19. They were 23-12 after completely rebuilding a team. That's the first NCAA tournament that they had been to since 07. Is the first conference title that team had won since 07. He took them back to the NCAA tournament in year two. They won. He won three conference championships while he was there. He won two regular seasons, or I think one regular season and two tournaments, and then he's been to the NCAA tournament twice with them. He took Western Kentucky to the NCAA tournament. That's the first time since 2013. They won a conference championship for the first time since 2013, and he won a tournament game with Texas A&M Corpus Christi, won an NCAA tournament game. When you look at going back to Matt Painter, he was under Painter. He was under McDermott. So he, and long term, right? Long, I think it was like 4 or 5 seasons with Painter, 7 seasons, I believe, with Creighton and McDermott. He has been credited as one of, as the recruiter of Zach Edey to Purdue. So he knows talent. He knows big men. He knows how to help develop big men. And the fact that he was a long-term assistant under these two incredible coaches, that to me says that he understands the importance of talented and good assistant coaches and allowing those assistant coaches to help develop players. And when you look at, like you mentioned, Brandon Garrison, I think all of that is so important. I think when you look at the fact that he knows how to spot talent in big men, and recruit big men and develop big men. And like, you know, you go through that. And I think we put it up on Pokes. I put it up on Pokes Report. You can watch it on OSU Max. You know, the first play we're going to do every single possession is we're going to go through the paint. The easiest shot is a layup and a dunk. Of course it is. Mm-hmm. What a concept, right? Who'd have thought the closer you get to the basket, the better chances of scoring are. And I agree with you. I'm not going to sit here and say that he's automatically day one going to have success at Oklahoma State like he did at Texas A&M Corpus Christi or Western Kentucky, because the Big 12 is drastically different than Conference USA and the Southland Conference, I believe, is where Corpus Christi is. I could be wrong, but when you look at the success that he had immediately, you have to rebuild programs. It's easier to win at those levels, because you're not going up against Big 12 every single night, but it's still hard. There's still challenges because you're going up against equal talent. You have to recruit.
Sure.
You have to say, hey, I'm a first-year head coach here, but we can have a lot of success, and then we had success. So,
How about this? If you would say bench scoring, it sort of shows how deep your team is.
Yeah.
Because if you're not trusting the guys, well, you have to recruit all those guys. There's 7 or 8 guys who are not on the court at any time or that don't start that you need to be in your program that need to contribute. Western Kentucky was number 18 in the nation in bench scoring last year. Number 3 was Texas A&M Corpus Christi. Mm-hmm. Those are going to be guys that Steve Lutz would have recruited to A&M Corpus Christi for the most part. You know, you're going to have some guys that the new guy would have brought in, but those last two places are putting the ball in the bucket from the bench.
Yeah.
I haven't scrolled down far enough to find where Oklahoma State is on that list the last couple of years, but, yeah. Or at least last year, but I thought that was pretty cool. His last two stops are top 20.
Well,
both of them.
And there are financial hurdles at Oklahoma State. You know,
Boynton, there we go. Oklahoma State's 146th in bench scoring last year.
Yeah, that's not good. And I do like the fact that I don't know the statistic of this, but or the national average, but Western Kentucky averaged 40 rebounds a game, and OSU was 33.7, excuse me. Now, there are financial hurdles at Oklahoma State. You know, Boynton came on, I think it was Bill Haston, and I think, I don't think that was, you know, I don't pretend to know the decision makers at Oklahoma State, but I do think that was probably more harmful doing that interview than it was good. But if you're coming out and saying that Oklahoma State is roughly $500,000 in NIL, you know, that's last in the Big 12 and last across the country. So obviously not last across the country, but down low amongst Power 5, Power 4 schools, whatever. You're going to have to figure that out. But I would have to imagine he's going to have more NIL money than he did at Western Kentucky and Corpus Christi combined. His recruiting budget's going to be a heck of a lot better. And we've reported multiple times. Robert's done it on his radio show. We've done it on Pokes Report that Brandon Garrison and Eric Daly, while technically in the portal, they've stuck around. Brandon Garrison has been engaged in the program. He's not, you know, most of these guys, like, yeah, there is, they have to stick around. They got to pass their classes and all this stuff. But most players that enter the portal find a way to do online classes. And these guys are taking online classes anyway. If they're sticking around, they're certainly not going to be around the program. They're not going to be in the building. You know, these guys, I think, are willing to listen to what Lutz has to say. And if you're Lutz, you can point to a lot of success. You can point to a lot of big men success and say, you know, look at the talent that Lutz has, you know, currently on campus, whether they're in the portal or not. You've got Brandon Garrison, Eric Daly, Jamyron Keller. You've got Javon Small. You have a really, really good, solid core of young players that have eligibility coming back. If I'm Lutz, you're absolutely, you know, and he said in that interview, it's so important for me to go, like, first and foremost, those guys are important. Getting to know and build a relationship with the guys on campus. If you can convince those guys to stick around with what he's done the last 3 years as a head coach going out, he can go and have success in the portal. I like this hire. I think that there's obviously questions, you know, and you can't predict success on April 4th, but I like the hire. I like the success that he's had. I like what his previous head coaches have had to say. McDermott called him a program builder. I believe the general manager, maybe, of the Los Angeles Clippers, OSU put out a quote on him talking about how successful he's been. This man knows basketball. I think it's a great hire. I don't know what's going to happen with the portal and the players that are currently here. But I think with his track record and knowing big men and knowing how to develop offense, I like his chances. I'll say that. I'm not predicting they're going to stick around, but I like Les's chances with the players here. And if it doesn't work out, he has shown that he's had success. So I think it's a good hire. I'm excited about it. I'm looking forward to hearing what he has to say later on Thursday afternoon, which is in a few hours from right now. And looking forward to diving through with his what he has to say with you, Brian. Any final comments before you get out of here and go to the airport?
I think it will be. It's not telling necessarily, okay, what his overall program success will be, but man, what a jump start it would be if he can just get a few of those guys back from the portal, you know, that are in. I mean, if you can just get a couple of them back. You may not go 100%. I mean, if you can, oh my goodness. But I think that everybody that watched the games last year knows these guys have talent. Knows a Javon. You've got to be licking your chops if you're Steve Lutz looking at tape and watching a Javon Small and watching Brandon Garrison and going, okay, like I want 7 foot in the middle.
Yeah, that potential for success is there.
Yes, it is. It is. But yeah, you're right. I got to run. Man, I'm glad that Steve Lutz came along so that you and I had a chance to talk again on, you know, while recorded. We talk on the phone, but while being recorded. So this is cool.
Well, we've certainly got a lot to talk about. We'll have a press conference to break down. We're in the midst of spring football, so we'll get back together again soon. It's thepokesreport.com. You've listened to the Pokes Report podcast. You can follow me at ZLancaster91 on Twitter. Brian, where can they find you?
Yeah, Brian, B. Murphy. 47.
There you go.
On Twitter.
We'll be doing it again here shortly. For Brian Murphy, I'm Zach Lancaster. This is Pokes Report Podcast here on pokesreport.com.